You're listening to Greatness Adjacent with Jenny Lind and Mandana Sisco. If it's your first time here, welcome. If you've been with us before, get cozy. Mandy, what did you think of Anna?
I love her. Anna was so darling.
She is.
She's so, like, energetic and fresh looking, and you just want to, like, drink whatever green drink she's having.
Yes, she is on something good. Mm-hmm. She is high on life in a way that makes you just really put on rose-colored glasses and feel like everything is good.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to do whatever she's doing. Very inspiring.
And she really has always been so clear and focused on what she wants to do, the things that make her happy, and all of these different careers that she takes on, because there are many. They all feed the source, feed the acting and calm and community and connectedness. And if it doesn't, she's a no thank you.
I love that thesis, the three C's.
Yes.
The three C's. I think we should all live by those, because I think it makes it so easy for her to decide if she's going to do something or not.
Right. It's not some agonizing decision.
Right. Right. And I think that's why she's successful.
So we hope you enjoy today's episode with Anna Hardwick, actor, yogi, co-owner of The Ferg in Prince Edward County, sometimes landscape architect.
Writer and producer. I mean, the list
goes on and on. So enjoy Anna. Today we're in our studio with Anna Hardwick. Hi, Lady Hardwick.
Hi, Jenny Lind.
I'm so happy. We are so happy to have you.
Thank you so much for being here.
I'm so happy to be here.
You're here on a whirlwind trip. And I was telling Mandana that in all the years that I've known you, you never let any grass grow under your feet. So you arrived last Friday to a roller coaster of a wedding weekend. There were wedding events, beautiful wedding I saw pictures of. Then you just did a whole week long Upright Citizens Brigade, an improv workshop for a week, because why not?
Why not do that on vacation,
right?
Technically?
Yes, exactly. And I met her today at the culmination of this class, and she was like, let's go to a party, then we'll go to your podcast, then we'll have some dinner, then tomorrow I'm driving to Big Sur by myself. Right? Is that your itinerary?
Yeah, I'm doing a bucket list trip.
Oh, okay. That's not. Mm-hmm. I would catch pneumonia if I did all of that within a week's worth.
Anna. I feel really rested and inspired.
I mean, you look like it. You look really great.
Invigorated.
I'm in love with LA.
This makes me happy because Anna, I know Anna told me some really good news that she is going to try to get her O-1, which is a visa that actors and people of exceptional talent can get. She's Canadian, will get there. And she might be spending a lot of the year here.
A lot. Maybe some of the year. But yeah, I would love to.
I'm pushing for a lot.
That's really great news, because I know how much Jenny adores you.
Well, I adore Jenny, and it just feels like such a warm welcome already.
She's also said that she would babysit anytime.
What?
Yeah. Yes. I'm going to toss my babies
at
her.
Have you met the party animals?
I've met one of them.
Only Clive.
Clive is so handsome and
my
cute.
God. Isn't he?
Don't
you just want to like love on him? But
he wants lady love at all times. So he'll be like, Mondi is a huge fan. When he sees her, he gets like, he's like, hi, Mondi.
I just want to kiss him like a baby, but I can't.
She's really good. She's like, hi, Clive. She really treats him like he's a little man.
Hold back. Mm. He's growing up.
I know. I don't like that.
I can't handle it.
I know he has a loose tooth. There's a lot going on. Yeah, first one. But it's all great and normal, but it does make me feel like, oh no, it's all upon me.
Oh, man.
But we're talking about you. Mm. So one of the things when I was telling Monty about you giving the overview of the Empress Anna... You are a true Renaissance woman in every way. You really do so many things so well. And you're living my dream life, because some people have a dream of just, I have one thing, one passion that I want to follow, and this is what I want to do. You have many, multiple ones, and you're doing them all. And they're all your real work, your real businesses. So you're an actor.
Mm-hmm.
You're a yogi, as in you've been teaching yoga for 11 years now, and your practice is deep and important to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're a surfer, but you don't teach surfing.
No,
do you?
I don't. No.
But you like surfing.
I'm a perennial and forever mid-level beginner surfer.
Okay. But you go on yoga retreats that also incorporate surfing?
Yes. No.
Very cool.
Yeah, very cool. You are also a business owner with one of your best friends from childhood, which we need to talk about. And Mondi and I are
definitely
really into the Ferg. And I just learned from Instagram that you are also a beauty editor. Is that right?
A beauty editor, stretching it. I write a blog for my friend's organic beauty company.
So you're all about green beauty.
Yes.
Okay, so that's how many careers?
I'm helping to design a friend's home in Brooklyn. And I do produce stuff and write stuff. So I write and produce film.
So we have six?
I can't count. I've lost count. And I do, sometimes I help people landscape and garden their properties.
Oh, you do? Well, in Canada or through anywhere?
In Canada, but I'd love to hear, because the gardens here are out of this world.
I was going to say, do you do it here? Because I think California has some of the most amazing native plants.
Yes. This is what, are you from California originally?
Yeah. Well, originally from Iran, but yes, I've been here since I was three.
It's unreal. I'm walking around with my jaw. I mean, I know there's a drought problem.
See, this is my question. If I had a big home that had grounds for a beautiful garden, I would love that. But then I would be really scared about, what about the drought years? What happens to those plants?
I like the drought plants, though.
You can plant
the succulents.
The succulents and the flowers that come out of the succulents.
I mean, that's true.
I mean,
you just have to be smart about it. I mean, our growing season is 3 months long, and it's a heartbreaker. You put all your blood, sweat, and tears, and you're so invigorated in May. And then, you know, by October, you're already cleaning up. But here, you can do it for so long.
Okay, so the careers that I didn't mention, but that you did, are writer, producer,
yes,
and you are consulting on a friend's design build out.
Yep.
In Brooklyn. And so your gardening landscape architecture, is that what they call it? Landscape architect.
I'm not a qualified,
what do they call that?
I'm not a qualified landscape architect, but I do have a deep obsession for gardening.
Do you have jobs where people will pay you for that, or do you just consult for friends?
I do have a few friends that I work for in their gardens.
On your free.
Guys, I take a lot of naps.
She does take a lot of naps.
I was going to ask about it because I love naps. But
Mondi naps.
I don't do any.
You have any kids.
No, and I have one.
You have kids.
And about to be two.
How do you take naps?
I do
10-minute naps?
No. I have a yoga nidra playlist that I've put together where I
listen. What is yoga nidra? Let's see.
Yoga nidra, I think, is the future. I mean, it's an ancient practice, but I feel like this is what I give to my young mom clients or my new mom clients. And I proselytize about yoga nidra everywhere I go because it's so good. It's a guided meditation that takes you deep into the subconscious to calm your nervous system and tap into your parasympathetic nervous system.
I'm all about the parasympathetic system.
And it calms me down in a way, like it's such a deeply healing process. And they say, and this is my little secret, they say, which is no longer a secret, but they say in yoga nidra, the guided meditation is to not fall asleep. They say, do not fall asleep. But I think it's like a good sort of counteractive cue, because I do end up napping afterwards. And I find that it puts me into this deep rest. And I set my alarm for like 20, 40 minutes later, and I'm back, and I got to go teach a bunch of classes in the evening or get to an audition or whatever. Or if you're on set and you're in your trailer and you got to like get through a 14-hour day and you're doing nights, I do a yoga nidra and I'm back.
So they are various lengths of time.
Yeah. They're very popular online. Like you can find them in different, but it's beautiful to have just this tool. And what it does is it reduces my anxiety throughout the day. If I'm hitting that wall of fatigue, I can't rely on coffee because I get too jittery. So, knowing that if I can carve out that time, even if it's 20 minutes, that I'm going to be back at it and okay. And that has helped reduce my day-to-day anxiety.
I now need to try
Yoga
nidra. That's what it's called.
Yeah. I really need to try that because I'm always tired.
And I'm always anxious.
And this, you just answered so many of my questions.
Yeah.
how you do it.
Yeah. And I think like we're all underslept. And for years, I had a real hard time sleeping. But over the last couple of years, I've really found a sort of a breakthrough, touch all the wood in my sleeping. I don't think we know enough about female hormones and how that affects sleep.
I agree with you.
But I've you know, finally been able to find some keys. And one of the keys is yoga nidra.
I also feel that embracing siestas, it's something that so many cultures do. Mm-hmm. And we probably should be doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, in Spain and Italy, everybody is like, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, 2 to 4 is like rest time.
That's what my family, Persians, do that too.
They do?
I love that.
From 2 to 4.
It's rest time.
I avoid calling my grandparents
you
around
do?
That time.
Oh, I love that. It's so healthy.
Mondi, like, you are very close to her family.
Oh.
So we need to talk about Mary and Doug. So your first love after high school, you grew up in Toronto with your amazing parents, Mary and Doug.
No, I grew up outside Ottawa. But,
Ottawa.
Yeah, not too far from Toronto. But, And if you're a local Torontonian, you say Toronto.
Toronto.
Oh, Toronto. Really?
Toronto. Yeah. You grew up outside of Toronto.
Yeah. Or Ottawa. Outside of Ottawa. Yeah.
But, and in that gorgeous home with the stunning gardens.
Yeah. Well, my parents were obsessive gardeners and they had this old house in the country that was like, you know, that my dad learned how to do all the things to fix it. And then they, you know, garden their faces off. Every day they would be out there and I would watch them and I was, you know, not into it. I didn't understand why. And now I'm obsessed and I call my parents about it and ask like, is this a weed? Is this a plant?
And it's do they know everything?
The
photos of the garden of that home that I saw was, they could have been in a magazine.
Yeah, they were
really like home and garden, like enchanted fairyland. Where is this place? Can I go there?
And that's where you grew up?
Yeah. Yeah. I was really, really, really lucky. Yeah.
So really I met lucky. You after high school. I'm a few years older than you. So you had just finished high school.
Yeah. I had hay in my teeth. I came from like this small town to London, England.
And I had just finished college. So I'm 4 years older.
You were
than
so
you.
Much more sophisticated. You were from.
Talked a good game.
You were from Sarah Lawrence.
Yeah.
And we, like, Jenny Lind was just my hero at theater school.
She was
gorgeous. She'd come into class wearing like long, filmy dresses.
Rain. That was a really bad choice. No wonder I was always sick. I was always like gauze and I'd be like soaked. Yeah, no, it was not a good choice. But we're talking
you
about
taught me
you.
How to live. Like,
thanks,
we toured a play across Europe. We were roommates and food mates because we take our food very seriously.
We really do. And everyone else was just, you know, greasy burger, french fry people.
No. We cooked and put in Tupperwares our food
as we
toured.
Did you say Jenny cooked?
Anna cooked. I really.
But Jenny planned.
I would plan.
Plan.
Yeah.
She's a planner.
But we would also stride through these towns together on our brisk walks.
Oh, yeah. We needed to have our brisk walks.
Mm-hmm. Our constitutional. Yeah. No, we were really obsessed about these things.
And Jenny jumped on a plane to come to Canada.
I told her about this trip, but we have
the
to
family trip.
The Georgian Bay. Georgian or Georgia?
Georgian Bay.
It was one of the most incredible fun.
That's what she told me.
It's one of the most memorable trips of my life. We will get there. So I met you right after you graduated from high school and you went straight to theater school in London. So I met her.
I was 19.
She was 19 years old.
Baby.
Tiny baby.
Baby.
So I was 23, all of 23, 22 or 23. And Anna was the cutest, most bright-eyed, starry little face. And we went through theater school together and she's a phenomenal actor. And then right after England, did you stay there or did you go back to Canada away?
That's when I moved to Toronto.
Okay. Then she moved to Toronto.
To Toronto.
And you were pursuing and are still pursuing and you are a working actor. You work in you do theater, television, commercials. Do you do voiceovers?
A lot of voice.
You do.
Yeah, a lot of voice.
Mm-hmm. You say you do.
What do you do voice for? Voiceover?
A lot of ads right now. Yeah.
And you have great years and lean years, all the in-betweens, right?
Yeah. It's
and you just came off a great year.
Yeah,
right?
It's been a great year.
Do we get to hear about some of those projects?
Yes, I did. I did a couple of movies, three movies back to back, and in between that, did you know, in Canada, you audition for these TV shows for years and years and years. And I finally landed a great role on one of them. Which
so you had auditioned
really
many times?
Oh, and been many rejected. Times. And many times.
I love that.
10 years, probably. Over 10 years of auditioning for this show and finally landed a role, a lovely role in Murdoch Mysteries, which is like a Canadian.
Is it a period piece?
It's a period piece.
I saw and, you. You had your hair all up in ringlets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was really fun. The costumes were, I was losing my mind with the costumes, and they have been doing this show for 12 years. So they're just like, whatever. Like everyone on set's like, uh-huh. And I'm losing my
mind.
It's
so exciting.
It's so, the costumes alone, like, ugh.
Did you have a great role?
Yeah, it was a wonderful role. I was the other woman.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's exciting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was fun. It was really fun.
So you did these movies.
Mm-hmm.
You did Murdoch Mystery.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so you're a working actor in Toronto. You have good years. You have lean years. You have some years where, you know, you don't book anything, or other years where you book a lot. And then you become a yoga teacher in the middle of that. Right.
Yeah. Like, I guess I would say that acting's my main thing. And I've always, I mean, consistently, that's my main job throughout the year. And, you know, it's always interesting when you sit down and you do your taxes and you're like, oh, okay. So what did I do this year? And it's like, as I thought that it was a young woman's game and that I would sort of be over it by now in the sense that there would be no more work. But every year, my years are getting touch all the wood.
All the wood. All the wood.
But it just keeps getting better. I think the energy is shifting in terms of people are more interested in female roles. They're interested in interesting roles. There's less ageism. I'm at a stage where, like, I did my first sex scene a few years ago.
You did.
And I was like, what? Why do they want me now? Like, I am... Really? Like, I thought that I would have gotten this in my 20s. So, yeah, I do a play.
How was that?
It was.
Was it stressful?
It was like.
Like full on sex?
Well, no, I was wearing more clothes than I wear at the beach. Mm-hmm. So like really nice underwear. The guy was lovely and much younger and way hotter than me. So I was like, this is
not possible that he was hotter.
It was embarrassing in a sense that I was like, oh, like. I just felt like, oh, you know, like, oh.
I feel, I've never done a sex scene, but did you have to, like, make sounds?
It wasn't like, it was like make out. It was more of a make out. Uh-huh. We had sex-ish on camera, but we still had our underwear on.
Okay.
So that was okay. But you know, I just thought, why is this happening now at this stage of my life and my career? But it just, anyway, I'm so damn grateful and it keeps
happening. It's so great. It's so wonderful. I love this.
Yeah.
So your years are getting better and better. And in the, when you were, you know, a few years out of theater school, you decided to, you liked yoga.
It was 10 years out of theater school. And I was like, you know what? I was behind a bar. I remember, serving drinks at, it was a summer. I had just gotten a divorce. I was a child bride and I was doing,
you were a child
I was
bride.
Way too young for all of that. And, I was serving drinks at all these like countless weddings. So the irony of having gone through a divorce and then like serving at weddings
totally.
Was not lost on me. And I would literally be wiping away tears behind the bar, partly because of my life circumstances and partly because I can't do something I'm not passionate about. Like
we're all about here.
Yeah. It's just like I had to be aligned with the work and I couldn't, when managers would be like, you don't care enough. I was like, no, I don't. And I didn't have a thick enough skin for waitressing. I'd come home in tears all the time because people were mad at me about certain things and I'd take it personally.
Yeah.
You'd think I'd have a thick skin being an actress, but unfortunately... I found serving was too challenging and I, you know, the industry is strong in Canada and there's lots of opportunities, but, I needed to feel the ground under my feet in a way. And you know what? I went to yoga teacher training in Costa Rica more as like an eat, pray, love experience, like more post-divorce, trying to find myself and heal. And it ended up being a side career very organically. I never tried. I went to one studio and said, oh, hey, I think we have the same teachers. I think you studied with my amazing teachers, Don and Amba Stapleton. At the time, they ran Nosara Yoga Institute. And the woman there, who's now a dear friend, said, oh, cool. Do you have a resume? And because I had a background in personal training. She,
you did?
Yeah, I got my personal training.
No big deal.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I also did.
No idea that MBD.
But I, she gave me a chance, and so I started teaching there, and then from there I got private clients, and then those private clients have just referred, and then I have some corporate clients, and the yoga has. I set out with the intention that it will 100% support my creative life, and that I will have clients that are 100% understanding of my creative life, and it has been that way.
That is so awesome.
It's awesome. And there has been no, I didn't have a website for the first like 7 years. I just put a website up. I've taught a few retreats internationally, but other than that, like I don't hustle. I don't, I'm not this, the person that there's lineups for my classes because I don't really teach public classes that
she
often.
She has mostly private clients.
And which sounds even better.
Yeah. Well, it's lovely. And yeah. There are people that I've been seeing for a decade. I'm like, how on earth do I have anything more to teach you guys? But it's more like this deep bond. I've seen them have kids. Mm-hmm. I've seen them have grandkids, some great grandkids.
One thing we need to talk about with Anna is her love of older people. It's one of her many, many gorgeous qualities. Mm. And I was asking her about her yoga teaching. I was just asking her, what is your schedule now? And, you know, just trying to get the logistics of it. And she said, I mostly have private clients, except I do teach seniors yoga.
You do? At like a center?
Yeah, this
oh my goodness. Yeah. That's so
it's
cute.
Even more beautiful when you're here. Are you allowed to say where you teach?
Yeah, no, it's a French Heritage Center. So they're Francophones and I get to teach them in French. So I get to practice.
Anna speaks French well also.
Okay, so he speaks French.
It's something you, when you grow up in Ottawa, you have to learn French if you want a job because it's like, it's the capital of Canada and it's on the border with Quebec and you really, it's like part of, like I was really, really lucky to have that background, but yeah. And now I get to practice it and there's grandmas from Rwanda. There's ladies from Mauritius. They're from all over the French diaspora. How do you say
diaspora?
That? Diaspora. Mm-hmm. No, I think that's how it's pronounced internationally. It? Okay. I just said it wrong.
I could be wrong too.
But there's French people from all over, and they congregate. Like Toronto is one of the most multicultural cities in the world, and this center is so full of life and so full of energy and spirit. And it's the best 2 hours of my week. And there's this couple from Burundi who are the exact same age as my parents, aww, who are in way better health. But they...
The man is 86.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your dad is 86?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I see them and they, you know, we have like a little dance party after every class and they just bring me so much joy and it truly like, they've helped me through some tough times.
She said that, so the work that she does at the French Heritage Center is not one of her, you know, it's not a money-making endeavor. She said, I do it because I love it and it makes her feel so good. And she went through a really hard time. Was it 2 years ago?
I think maybe a year and a half ago something.
She was going through a hard breakup. Her parents' health, there was stuff going on there. Your sister was having a baby, but she was out of the state. There was a fire. She lost all her belongings, like everything. She had a really, really hard time. And she said that these people were her, like saved her.
No.
Yeah. They were like, one day I was driving into teach and I had been crying so much that morning that I could barely drive and I had, you know, no, my eyes were just puffy. And I said, sorry guys, I have a cold. Like I could barely talk. I was so, so sad. And, I got through the class somehow. And at the end of the class, this woman from Burundi came up to me and was like, Anna, you need to get better because we need you. And that got me through, like seeing them. I would start the class, you know, heartbroken or terrified. I have no home. I have no, like, I was like, what does my future hold? And by the end, and then I'd look at these grandmas who, you know, somehow came out of Rwanda and are continuing to be smiley and lovely. And I was like, okay, if they can do it, I
got
can do
this.
It.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
teaches chair yoga. To them.
Oh, and meditation.
So cute. Because they can probably barely move. Is that?
Well, there's two groups. The ones who are my parents' age are like super, super active and mobile and full dance party. And then there's another group that's like all chair.
All chair.
So and mostly amazing. Meditation. And
okay,
I love
so
them.
Actor and yogi. Love this. So then a few years ago, we need to talk about the Ferg because it's really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Really cool. So you have, will you tell the story? A childhood friend.
Yeah. So my dear friend, Jamie Cole, who is just like such a yes woman and so inspiring. She and I had been sending listings back and forth for this area called Prince Edward County, which is beautiful.
Hold. So you guys were already sending each other properties.
Not even. There was just one really that caught our eye. A major.
Had you talked beforehand? Like, hey, we should do.
Not really. I mean, because Jamie is the kind of person that says, hey, let's go to Mongolia. And you go, yeah, maybe if I can make it happen. She's just such a yes person that her ideas are wonderful, but you never know if it's. So there was like some she's always had a nose for real estate. And she had been out in Prince Edward County sort of speculating a few years prior. And I had grown up going there because my mom's a visual artist and there's a really big art scene there. And then when I moved to Toronto, it was the halfway point. It's this beautiful area. There's 44 vineyards and counting. There's breweries. There's this really unique land where you can grow beautiful Pinot Noir and beautiful Riesling grapes. And then there's also the sand dunes, miles and miles of sand dunes and on the Great Lakes. It's on Lake Ontario.
Mondi, we have to go on a family vacation.
Please come.
Maybe without kids, though.
Although they're very kid friendly.
It's very kid and dog friendly. But so the area is beautiful and the architecture there, it's some of the oldest structures in Canada because all the loyalist soldiers came up from the War of 1812 and were granted land and started building. And so anyway, we went out on a girl's weekend and on the Monday we bought this house.
Was it the one you had been texting back and forth about?
No, that one has an apple. A friend of ours bought it, a beautiful, wonderful florist friend of ours. But that one had like an apple orchard and a church, and the house was, anyway, it was too much. And we thought, oh, maybe we could run a yoga retreat there. But we found a place for much less cost, but still had three units. And the reason...
Was it already divided up?
It was already divided up. And that was the genius part because it's like, you can scale it. And it had been running as a B&B. And we thought, oh, we'll just like pull up the carpets and paint it and we'll be open in a month. We were so naive. It was a gut job. The guy who had done our housing inspection, perhaps, and this is the rumor, got his license off the internet.
Really?
And was like a pizza delivery guy before us.
No way.
Like the day before.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was really like we were naive. And
so you went up on a Friday and by Monday you were property owners.
Yeah. And we put the business together, we put the plan together on the beach over a bottle of bubbly.
Yes.
Oh, I love
that. That's the best way to do a business plan. Yes.
And then what we did, and I think what's key, I don't know what we're getting. Like, I think what you guys are really interested in here, and I think what is key is that there was always a thesis behind what we did. Like, everything I do in my life has to align with what I believe in. Community, creativity, culture, calm, like creating peace and calm or inner calm. And so when we created the Ferg, Jamie's also has a background in yoga. And so we wanted to create a space that was calm, that was peaceful. That was a place we've had writers retreats there. I've hosted yoga retreats there.
You have.
Yeah. It's amazing. Like what has come out of that place. Mm. We closed October 1st and we had our first guest in March that year. So like just, you know, we renovated two of the suites and then by July we were fully open. So in under a year, we had fully renovated that place.
So 5 months for two of the units. And then the third unit was a couple months.
You're
after.
Really good at math. That I couldn't,
no,
I could not have done that. I run six businesses and I'm terrible at math.
Well, I run no businesses and I'm terrible at math. So,
but, so that was, and so since then, you know, it's been just amazing. We've been so grateful. We've had a lot of press. We just did a TV show. Like we were featured
on. You guys
on...
just did a TV show.
Yeah.
Didn't you?
So we've had like.
You were featured. Was it a renovation show?
Kind of. It's called Handmade Hotels and it has, people who are running, the vacation rental properties out of homes but with an emphasis on, handmade aspects of it. So for us, it was the emphasis on Jamie's photography, my mom's art, a lot of like our design ideas that were that, you know, sort of from our own creativity. And
so cool.
Yeah.
And you guys, you had never, had you ever done a renovation before?
No, not really. This was like, I cut my teeth on this.
And Jamie lives in the States. So was it mainly you, or did she fly up and down a
lot? She flew up and down a lot. There was a day in which I drove into the city for an audition. This is 2 hours outside of Toronto, 2.5 hours.
Is it like Napa to San Francisco?
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of like the Hamptons to New York, Napa to San, like, it's like an, it's like a vacation destination that's growing rapidly in popularity.
Since you have purchased and opened the Ferg, it has exploded. I see the county everywhere.
Yeah, it's like listed in Condé Nast, Travelers, listed like the Times, like everyone is talking
incredible
about it for good reason. There's an incredible food culture, music culture. It's its own little, it's the town hall. It's called the Shire. So I feel like it's Hobbit land. Like when people are so friendly and there's so much creativity.
We got to go, Jenny.
Oh,
we
have to go. There's always, I call it the county hustle, because you go there and you're like, oh, I'm going to the country. I'll quiet down. No, there's so much social activity. There's a house concert. There's a barbecue. There's the Legion, where you go and there's like open mic and everyone's dancing and someone does a food pop up. And so I mean, it's so fun. And yeah, I'm just, I do, I, the county is my boyfriend is kind of like my slogan.
County is my boyfriend. It's so good. How is it running a business with your friend?
It's great. It's a marriage.
It's a marriage.
It's a marriage. And we are still deep friends. And we've,
that's a lot.
It's a lot. There were times where we really needed each other to complement each other, because she's a visionary, yes, go, go, go. I'm detail grounded, a little bit more pensive or concerned personality. And so we needed each other to bounce and balance each other off. I sort of tether her and she pushes me. And so that's important. Yeah. And there were times where we realized what a money pit we had bought, and we were terrified, and we had to really get really creative with the financing.
Did you have to like get a loan?
We got a loan from the town, like a business development loan from the town.
Was that after you realized that it needed so much more work?
Yeah. After our budget, like after we blew through our budget in the first month or so. And then we were like, oh gosh. And, you know, that was a really good experience for me in just trusting. She always knew, like when we presented our business model to the town council, who was deciding, you know, they rejected it at first. They said it's too positive.
Really?
And so
was their feedback?
The feedback was that it was too optimistic. And so we jiggled the numbers and resubmitted and got our loan. But in fact, the first submission was correct.
Was it?
So, you know, like
that's impressive.
Very.
It's that, you know, we were building off of some expertise that Jamie had already in doing a project similar in Palm Springs called the Amato.
The Amato is amazing.
Yeah. And she's also a professional photographer. So we had this amazing advantage of beautiful photographs, and she's got great design eye, and I'm obsessed with gardens and obsessed with detail. So we were a good pair.
The two of you are a dream team.
Yeah. Seems like a really nice balance.
Yeah. Yeah. We really are lucky. And, you know, it's in every endeavor that I have as a producer, as a writer, it's about partnerships. It really is.
I thrive with others, for sure, for me.
Yeah.
And finding that person, finding that producing partner is gold. Finding that business, like co-business owner, gold.
Gold. No, you're right.
You're welcome, Jenny.
Thank you, Mondi. I feel that I have gold with you. I know that.
I love you.
So were you guys profitable from the get-go?
I mean, yeah, profitable.
Really?
I mean, we still have a mortgage.
Of course, but was the business making money?
Yes.
That's from the
incredible
get-go.
Yeah. We were booked solid as soon as we opened.
That's amazing.
And partly we were filling a need, and now there's tons more vacation rentals in the county. I mean, our first year that we bought, there were 750,000 visitors and 300 beds. And now the second year, there was 1.5 million visitors and like 700 beds. And so, you know, it's catching, the need is balancing out and catching up. But what we're really happy about is the way that we've been a part of the community. I went and did a play there 2 summers ago.
I remember seeing that. Was it Midsummer Night's Dream?
Yes. It was a dream. They set it like an outdoor waterside wedding, and it was a dream. And so to be a part of the community and to be out there, you know, and to have, you know, there's this amazing relationship you develop with the local business owners, mm-hmm. and you send your guests there and vice versa. And you're just, and sometimes when I'm out there and I'm, say, taking a friend to a different winery or dropping over to a winery to pick up some wine from my guests or something, and I get to go do a tasting, and I'm like, this is my job. Like, this is my life.
That, it really does seem like the absolute fantasy life. When I see the county and your North Star of always bringing it back to acting, does this serve does this serve my purpose? Mm-hmm. That goes for mm-hmm. yoga, the FERC, and everything else.
Yeah. Listen, like, it's not all a dream. There are a lot of heavy bags that I carry a lot, and boxes a lot. There were times where, you know, I wasn't really sleeping because I was going, what am I doing? But you just keep going and keep having this sort of blind faith. My whole life is built on blind faith.
It's very inspiring to me.
I love that you have the thesis, though. I feel like that is your foundation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's your faith is in that thesis.
Yeah.
If it has all the, yeah, you know, requirements that you are looking for, yeah, then I think you.
Yeah. Does it build culture, community, health, like inner peace, health, wellness? Does it
promote calm?
Yeah,
promote
calm.
Really beautiful that you put that in there.
Yeah. And for me, I think like the art piece of it for me is conversation and community. Like, I'm an artist because I need to talk about things because I feel like, you know, we're on this planet to connect and to create.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. To create change. There's this, I mean, and I know it's, you know, maybe an aphorism, but I love the idea of live your life. Oh my God, I'm going to do it wrong. We've got this one wild life, and why are
the
you
Mary
not?
The Mary Oliver one.
Are you running towards your dreams?
What are
like
you going
running
to
from
do?
Fire or something?
Is
like
it,
your house?
What
is,
are you going to do with your one wild life? Is it the poem that starts like that?
There's that one, but there's another one that one of my Buddhist teachers taught me on a retreat where it was, why are you like, we have this one life, and are you running towards your dreams? Like you're running away from a burning home, or that sounds negative. Anyway, I need to find it for you, but.
Okay. But I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
I get it.
Like your hair is on fire. Like run as hard as you can towards your dreams. You know,
where do you think you learned that from?
Oh, I don't know. I've always had this urgency to get stuff done. That's why I went straight to theater school. I had scholarships for universities. I turned them all down because if I had gone into a normal life with, like, I could have, you know, done something more conventional and maybe safer. I knew that I might have. And then if I needed to take the off ramp right away into a freelance life. And I think, you know, I love that you're celebrating this, because years ago I would have thought that I was a failed actor for not having these side hustles, or for having side hustles.
I look to you as a total expander for me.
Well, thank you.
Because this is what I like, having all these different things.
Yeah.
It really makes me feel like I have a full life, and I feel very fulfilled.
And all your different things are also all in alignment with the one,
right,
the thesis, the purpose, the North Star.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did your parents encourage that growing up? Did you have that
dream parents?
I'm very lucky that I had really lovely, creative, supportive parents.
Her parents.
I love them. They're a great hang. They're really fun to hang out with.
I can't. They're the sweetest people. But one thing I said to Mondi.
I do fight with my mom sometimes.
Who doesn't, fight,
who
with
doesn't
their
fight
mom?
With their mom?
I fight with
my mom every day. I love her. I love her to death.
Yeah. And moms are, that's what you do with them.
Yeah.
So you did, your parents instilled in you, or maybe you just had it. You saved always. From the first job you had, you told me you always saved money. Is that right?
that was my aunt, who's a single mom. She pulled me aside at 25 and she said, Anna, you need to meet this financial planner and you need to save. And so I've been saving for retirement since then. Even in super lean years and super lean months, automatically I was saving. So no matter what. And so that's what allowed me to do the FERC.
Like a 401k kind of setup?
Like a investment savings, like docs or whatever.
It's so smart.
But yeah, so that was something. And as a freelancer,
very
I was
smart.
Yeah. And it's like I needed, the rug has been pulled out from under me so many times in my life that I needed to know, like, you know, that I've got other projects that make me feel grounded. And, you know, when I walk into an audition, I'm not walking in going like, I need this job so damn much because I need to
the
pay my bills.
Desperation.
It's like,
and it comes off.
Yeah.
In your audition.
Did
it's
you like, ever read Big Magic?
Yeah.
She talks about that. How yeah. Elizabeth Gilbert talks about how not to let your creative baby, not to let it get to the point of desperation, to always have these other projects.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a balance. Like there's times where sometimes I feel a little torn, you know, hustling around the city to teach different classes and then running to an audition. And sometimes I think I'm like superwoman because I literally jump into my condo, change and go out and do another thing and then come home, change, go out and do another thing. And that's where the yoga nidra comes in. And the yoga nidra happens in my car. Sometimes I pull into a parking lot.
Wait, we have to talk about your aggressive driving.
Oh, yeah.
So there's yoga nidra on one side. There's yoga nidra on one side, parasympathetic nervous system, calm the fuck down. And then there's Anna in the car. So,
how, like LA aggressive? Or
I think LA is very calm. The drivers are Sunday drivers compared to how I drive in Toronto.
That says a lot right there.
I'm like, okay, well, you're going to want to, in 3 miles, you're going to want to change
like,
into the right
lane. You want
lane.
Me to
She's
change?
Like, that's a long, like, she didn't
3 miles?
Talking.
You want me to change lanes? I can get there. Don't worry. Like, like, it's hilarious. I'm driving to a yoga class. I'm like, would people just get out of there? Oh, what is... And then I get there and I'm like, everyone, inhale.
Yeah, let
and exhale.
All go.
But it's the transitions. I'm really good at the transitions. Like, I'm able to jump in and out of different situations really fast. And I don't know, a lot of people, I think, might struggle with that. But I need that amount of stimulation, I think. But I'm not like some of the people I know who have extra batteries. Like I produce and I write, but I create a project and I'll get a film out into the world and tour it to film festivals. And then I need some downtime. Yeah. I'm a more successful producer writer is someone who has 8 projects on the go at all times and the ones that catch. And yes, maybe I need to streamline. Maybe that's my next theme. Is to try to keep focusing more on the creative side. And that, you know, yes, that's going to come and that's going to happen. But it's, I know myself. I produced a play a few years ago and I needed to rest after that. It had been a 3-year buildup. I don't know how people get things done in politics because it takes me forever to get a play or a movie off the ground. I don't know how people, like, I don't know how you pass a bill.
Yeah, well, most of the bad ones get passed. But anyway, we don't have that much more time and I want to talk about so many things.
Oh my gosh.
So can we, okay, so you write a blog for a friend about green beauty products.
Yes.
What is it called? What is...
I'm like, I don't know. We came up with this very silly term, beauty adventurista.
I like it. That's so cool.
And I just talk about simple, healthy, natural beauty. And it's fun. Like I get to try out.
I need to put in here, she's an amazing cook, by the way, because she needed to do more things really well.
Yes.
Yeah. She's an amazing cook. So
I love cooking.
And everything's always...
And I'm single, guys.
But wait, I drove over here with you.
Yeah, I'm dating in the world.
I think dating in the world is a great place to be. I think that's really fun. And you're such a goddess. But what I love more is that as you've gotten older, you love being single. You love dating. You're not worried about getting married. You're not panicked about it. You don't feel any sense of things have just gotten better.
They should be so lucky.
Yeah.
And something clicked, actually. I feel like there is this pressure on women to pair up and mate, and their worth is hanging on it. And their worth in society is hanging on it. There's a lot of, oh, I'm so sorry. Maybe I don't know if I know anyone. All the good guys are taken. And that's all lies. That's all bullshit. Because, in fact, my happiness is not hinged on a man. And for years, I kind of thought it was in a weird, like I needed it to feel safe, to feel landed. And I've developed, again, like the rug has been pulled out so many times that I've developed a resilience that does not involve or revolve around a partner. And if someone comes to my life, it's an added wonderful, wonderful gravy. Bonus. Gravy. Yes, I would love a life partner. But there is not that like milestone arrival. This mm-hmm. has to happen. I think maybe being an actor, you're on set, you get all dolled up a lot. So there's no need for that like princess beauty thing of being a bride. Like that's that whole party bridal thing doesn't equate with me anymore. And for me, it's more about community and gathering people. And I do that a lot. Like I bring people together a lot for parties. And I feel like all of those elements are fed in my life, and that it's deeply misogynist, actually, how we're told we have to mate and pair, and how there's so much pressure on our biology, whereas, you know, it's just as much on men's biology as
it is. They like to pretend that it's not, but it is. And I agree with
Jenny
you.
Jenny talks about it all the time.
It's constantly. So deeply misogynist.
It's so misogynistic. And I feel like I would just, because, you know, we had our issues with getting pregnant and none of them were mine. And people would always assume that it was me.
Yeah.
And I would just be like, yeah, so I'm going to throw my husband under the bus. It has nothing to do with me. It was so rude. That's how I felt.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think as women, you know, we're getting more and more empowered and more, I mean, there's still so far to go, especially in
there's a long way to
the
go.
Entertainment industry, but we're getting more and more empowered and we're creating more and more of the life that we want to live. And, you know, I recently got a beautiful dog and it's, you know, she has, you know, started to build.
Your dog is adorable.
Oh, I just adore her. And she's brought so much joy to my life. And these are things that I kind of held off thinking, oh, I'll do that with a partner. It's like, no. Oh, I'll wait to buy a home with a partner. No, I'm buying it with a friend. And so many people would ask, oh, which ex did you do that house with or whatever? And I'm like, no, I did it with a friend. And, you know, it's about
with money that I saved.
You got to get your own life sorted out. And that's, I mean, I think that's you asked about my parents. My mom had kids late because she wanted to make sure that she could take care of us if something were to happen in her marriage. So she went and got her MSW her master's of social work that she had like career options. Mm-hmm. So if she was ever a single mom. And I think that rubbed off on me. I think that's why I'm later to this game.
I mean, later, everything is happening so beautifully for you as the years go by. You're getting more parts. Your businesses are flourishing. You're doing sex scenes. You're dating. Like
I'm doing them on camera, not in real life. No, I'm joking.
You're dating in real life. Dating seems so fun.
It's hell.
Is it?
I mean,
but can we talk a little bit about your friend? Just, and then I know we got to wrap up, but her family, they're like wilderness experts.
All of them. The gardening experts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, a family vacation with her parents that I took. There's sailing, there's canoeing, there's kayaking, there's like outdoor toilets, there's headlamps. When she goes on a girls trip with her sister.
You know how to sail, too?
I learned. My dad and sister are sailors. I'm not very strong.
I saw you in the middle of the night with your like... I don't know what you were doing.
We had to navigate because we had a shitty boat and we got there too late. We had to navigate with flashlights.
We're just going to do it in the middle of the...
It's not necessarily advised. It's just that we're foolhardy.
And then when I asked her about a trip with your sister, it was like, first we snowshoed and we climbed.
Oh my God.
No, my sister... my sister's an actual wilderness guide for life. Like, and so I did go backcountry skiing with her this winter in Wyoming.
I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about the one where she like cut cedar planks and took you to secret hot springs fished for some salmon.
She's a really good cook in the wild, but she did not fish for salmon that night, but she made me a beautiful curry cooked in the hot spring.
There you go.
So it was like,
what?
A beautiful hot spring in the wilderness. Yes.
A secret one that she found. I mean, the stories are pretty phenomenal. And then having been on your family vacation, which was the most beautiful, the most fun, the best food, your dad with the ukulele.
Oh.
We played games. Anna and I did yoga and bikinis.
Yes.
It was really fun.
Maybe a book is in your future, Anna.
I love that you guys think I'm worthy of a book. I mean, I just think I'm like day to day. Every day I have to pull up my own socks. I don't know what each day is going to hold. Every day changes. Like your plan for the day changes every day because as an actor, you don't know what's happening tomorrow. But I think, you know what, the foundation, circling all the way back to like deep rest, like deep meditation, deep calm, deep rest. That is the only way that I can manage all
I'm
of this.
Listen I'm going to definitely look yoga nidras.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you for coming.
I love you guys.
Thank you so much.
I love
much.
You. And baby Anna has become a super touchstone for me because I really do look to your life and I think I can do all these different things. Look at her.
Jenny, you're an inspiration to me.
No,
you're
no.
a mother of the most beautiful children.
No,
you're a teacher.
Thanks.
You're a writer.
No.
You're a creator.
Thanks, Banana.
Oh, and you're also a healer? Yes.
But Anna, no, I look to you because I really do think that you have this greatness adjacent. This is what we're all about here. And you can find Anna and maybe read her beauty blog, but she's on Instagram at Lady Hardwick.
Yes.
And then your beauty blog is Beauty Adventurista.
Well, yeah, you can find, I've got a website, annahardwick.com, and I'm also the fergpec.com.
Oh, the fergpec. If you want to go on a vacation to their gorgeous retreat place.
You better hurry because Jenny and I are going to go.
With, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how many websites can one woman have? There's my yoga website. But you know what? Let's just calm down with all of that and be very grateful that
Anna
we got to be
Hardwick.
Together.
I am so grateful. Thank you.
Thank
I love you.
I love you guys.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please click subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast. If you love what we're about and feel called to recommend us, please tell your friends. If you want to make a donation, you can find us on patreon.com/greatnessadjacent. Dreamers in Action are beacons for us all.